let's get to it, man. Yo, what up, it's the Wild Nuggets Podcast, your boy Dame.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Haywood.
What's up, y'all? It's Jeremy.
Back, man. Episode 67, man. How everybody feeling, man? I'm gonna start with you, Jeremy.
Man, I'm feeling good, man. Finally got back in the swing of things. You know, me and you and Chris got a little challenge going on.
Hey,
body fat percentage challenge.
A Wu challenge?
Body fat percentage dropping challenge. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna see how that's gonna go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna walk off with this one.
Good luck. But no, other than that, I mean, work's good. Everything else is good. Yeah, I'm just chilling, man.
That's what's up. Jeremy, I was about to ask you about something. About your businesses. But talk about that later. I'm straight. I'm alright. My brother kind of stressed at work. I ain't gonna lie. It's kind of like, it's a lot going on. I got a deal. I didn't mean to get a deal. That's not true. I got a deal, and I need to sell it. It's causing me some stress this week. I don't necessarily need the money, but I would like to have it for, you know. So I might have to give that one back, which I've never lost a deal before. I've always sold it. I've always can move the house that I got. But the market is changing just a little bit. It's not as hot as it was. It's cooling down just a tad. And all that means is you have to adjust your strategy. That means certain things you would take risk on, you kind of chill on that, unless it's like a home run, if you think you can move it, you know? So that's all that means. Try to get it for a lower price in the future, or you get different, better buyers. A lot of my best buyers have already bought shit in the beginning of the year, so they already loaded up on stuff. So that's just some of the shit I'm dealing with. What else? I mean, I got vacation next week. Got booked on 2 more gigs out of state. Got one in San Francisco. Got one in Illinois. So that's easy bread. And then I'm going to start doing like this. I'm sure Dan, you own it. This Wall Street Trapper episode, and he was just talking about, man, you gotta start putting your money to work for you. You know what I mean? So all this bread I'm getting, I gotta start leveraging it. And I'm talking about it right now. I ain't trying to wait like 5 years. Like, I'm gonna put some money in stocks, but I gotta find some places to put some money like this year. Like we gotta talk about that, y'all. There gotta be something I could do. Get some returns exceptionally. Not exceptionally. That don't mean I'm gonna take it out, but I'm just saying I want some good returns on this bread as opposed to sitting in a savings account. I can't hear you, Dame. Am I tripping? Dame, we can't hear you. Yeah, Dame can't hear you.
He's going. Oh!
There we go.
Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, my bad, man. Not for you, man. Nah, definitely gotta get on it, man. You can, definitely do some stuff out there as far as getting the investment in. Of course, the stock market is the first place we always talk about for the most part. But yeah, there's a lot of other ventures that you can get involved in. Me and Jeremy's actually talking about a deal that we want to pursue this past weekend. Hopefully, that could turn into something, man. So see how that stuff goes. Huh? We're talking about a deal. I don't want to put it out here right now.
Deal.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gotcha. Yeah, we're talking about a venture buy. We'll talk about that though.
Okay.
Man, I had to apologize to y'all last week, man. I know we usually record on Wednesdays. I couldn't get on last week, man. I had a lot of stuff moving. I'm about to get ready to start up with this brokerage, and I got some other irons in the fire too as well.
What you decided to do, man?
New Western Acquisitions.
No way.
Yeah.
Bro. Whoa, you gonna go New West? Those are our direct competitors.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we definitely gotta talk about this.
Yeah, we chop it up. Yeah, New Western Acquisitions, man. I'm already in the door there with them and stuff. Got some irons in the fire. Got some other stuff that I'm working on too. And of course, got to get Aiden back into daycare and stuff like that too. So that's been kind of crazy trying to make sure we're putting them in the right school and stuff like that too, man. It's getting it going, but it's starting to light up. It's starting to ease up a little bit too. So I'm pumped, man. I feel good about where everything's going right now. So just,
man, it's a lot of bread over there. And a lot of them cats over at any of these companies that I started with or used over there, they're young, bro. And so when I came in and I had been through life and I had a family to feed, bro, I ate their ass up, bro. I ate their ass up because they just,
oh, yeah.
They wasn't seeing it like I was seeing it. They were chilling. They be trying to go to lunch every Friday. And I'd be like, yo, I'm about to go look at a house. You know what I'm saying? That's how, yeah. I'd be killing them. And they'd be like, man, you're killing it, bruh. And I'm like, bro, I just do my work. So I know you do well, man. I know you do well.
Yeah, nah, I'm pumped about it, man. I feel good about it. Quick story. I was with one of the guys. I was doing a ride along, and I told Jeremy about it already, but they had they acquired a $1.1 million house downtown off of Riverside. And investor came in. He was like, man, I really like the spot, man. I'm not trying to lose it, so I'm going to put down 1.5. And then he kind of thought about it a little bit. He was like, nah, he said, let me come back down. So he put in 1.325. And got it. And the dude I was with, he was just like, oh yeah, man, I just, that's 40K right there off top. So I was like, man, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And he got 100K a month. This dude got 100K a month.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. So he cooking. Dude cooking over there, man. So.
Woo, 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 man, bruh.
It's out here. You get it. Yeah, exactly.
You're going to be rapping. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. But now, man, we got a good show, man. Just to kind of jump back in and get our feedback wet, man, we're going to have a trending topic show, man. We're going to talk about some of the events that happened last week and this week. I know some of them dated, but it was important for us to talk about it, you know, since it was some pivotal things that happened. Man, we're going to have a good show for you, man. I think, Jeremy, you got the tip of the week, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, man, well, I'm going to pass it over to you, bro. Let you cook.
All right, cool. So, you know, we're all at the age where we got kids and we parents. So, you know, as parents, you know, we want our kids to be as successful as possible. We want to put them in the best situation to be successful. So today I want to kind of touch on custodial accounts. That's a way that, you know, that you can get your kids there. So basically a custodial account is basically a savings account set up and administered by an adult or a minor. So the two ones that we're going to talk about is the UGMA, which is the Uniform Gift to Minors Act, and the UTMA, the Universal Transfer to Minors Act. So the cool thing about these are they serve as a trust without having to actually create a trust, which is a cool thing. You can deposit any form of financial products, such as like cash, bonds, stocks in these. Once the recipient reaches the age of majority, which is typically 18 to 21, they take possession of the principal and any returns on the investment. But they cannot access the money until they come into age. But the custodian can withdraw any funds to cover expenses related to the welfare or the education to the minor. So the account custodian, he can manage the investment assets in the account, or what you can do is you can elect a professional asset manager to be the custodian to manage the investments. So you can do it either way. So when it comes to like contributions are made after tax dollars. And you can contribute up to $15,000 annually without incurring a gift tax, $30,000 for any married couple. And I think the gift tax is anywhere from 18 to 40%, depending on what it is. So the differences between the two is the UGMA account is limited purely for financial products such as like cash, bonds, mutual funds, and other securitized instruments and insurance policies. Whereas the UTMA can hold any form of property. So that includes like real property, real estate. You can also transfer like a vehicle or, a deed to a family home. And all the states have adopted the UGMA, but with the UTMA, Vermont and South Carolina do not allow them. So kind of get into the like the tax implications. So the UGMA and the UTMA, they are not tax deferred. So the creator of the account can choose to pay the capital gains taxes on behalf of the recipient. So kind of the breakdown, the first $1,050 of the child's unearned income is tax free. So the next 1,050 is taxed at the child's rate, which I think is probably like, I think it's around like 10%. And then anything over that is taxed as the parent's income. And then the only downfall to this, when it comes to like financial aid going to college, the UGMA and UDMA will reduce the financial aid eligibility by 20%, as opposed to if you were to set up like a 529 college savings plan, which would only reduce like the FAFSA financial aid by 5.64%. So I just wanted to just share some information on these two custodial accounts. You know, if you have kids, you know, you want to put them in positions to be successful in life. So you probably want to start, you know, setting up these custodial accounts earlier, the better. And if you can do that, you'll put your kids in a good situation when they turn, you know, 18 to 21, they'll be able to take these over and hopefully they'll be able to thrive from there. So.
What's the return on investment on that? What was on it?
Huh?
What's the return on investment on it then?
What's the what?
What's the ROI on it?
It's just whatever the
market. Whatever you invest in it.
Ain't no, yeah. So it's a savings account. It's not a money a market account.
No, it is.
Kind of sort of. It's like
cash,
a house.
Stocks, mutual funds.
That's what I'm saying. So what's like, is there an average, you know, expected return on that bad boy?
I mean, the market usually, ROI is usually about 8% or so.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I thought you wanted to give you like a definitive answer of oh, what no, you, no, what, no. I was like, I don't know. It depends
It's more of an easy way to transfer all the assets that you want to transfer to your kids without having to, you know, manually go through it or separate your stocks from, you know, separate stocks that you want to sell and stuff like that. You know, when you get to that age, you can already have that in motion for the kids and stuff like that. One thing I wonder is like, can you put kickers in there and stuff like that? Like, hey, you have to go to college or you have to, you know, start a business or something like that in order to receive these funds.
Oh, I do not know that for sure.
I wonder, since I'm a 1099 and they ain't about to be a 1099. Is that, well, I guess we still report our income. Like we can't like write off money we put in that shit.
Nah, it'd still be considered like a an investment on your behalf. So you still be responsible for capital gains taxes or any withdrawals or dividends that you receive. It'd still be recognized income.
Okay. Well, man, that's
which good. I mean, you kind of pick your poison with it. It'd be the same if you didn't have it versus if you did have it. Mm-hmm. Too, at the same time, you still have to pay those capital gains taxes if you just went out on your own and did, you know, picked up a whole bunch of stocks that you wanted to give to your kids when they were 18 or 20. Mm. I think it's just more of a formal way to do it, to house all the stuff. That way is separate from your own personal assets, if that makes right. sense. I wonder, and then also, I mean, I thought about like those 529 programs, but I wonder, is that, let's say one of my kids decided they didn't want to go to college. Can you take that money back out?
Ooh.
Yeah, so when you talking about
familiar with 529,
sound better, just in case that does happen. And you say you have flexibility to, if something happened with the child, I could use it.
Yeah,
that's pretty interesting because I know we was having a conversation with the stocks, and I tell you, I'm about to get that shit up out of Robinhood. There really ain't no reason for me to be looking at it, honestly. And it don't do nothing but make me want to do something. I'm probably about to migrate it to something because I don't really feel the need to be looking at it. Honestly, I'm doing moderate, aggressively stocks. So something like what you saying for my baby girl is something like I could do. I don't need to be checking it on the app all the time. Honestly, it don't really, nothing good really come out of it. As long as I'm putting money in that shit.
Yeah.
That's something that I'll be interested in.
That's what's up, man. Now, I'm going to have to look at it, Jeremy. That's some good information, bro. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah. Sure.
Let's get into these trending topics, man. So, wanted to get everybody's thoughts, man. We didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, but, of course, the verdict came in, and Derek Chauvin is guilty on all three counts. How y'all feel about that, man? What y'all think?
I feel great about it. Do I feel great? I don't know. Well, let me take that back. I don't necessarily feel great. I'm happy, if I guess, you know.
Yeah.
That it happened, you know, but I mean, that's how it's supposed to go. That was very clear cut to me, but I feel like a lot of them are clear cut. You know, so I can't believe old buddy with Tamir Rice, motherfucking George, what's that nigga name with the dude with the Skittles?
Trayvon Martin.
That dude ain't even a cop.
Yeah.
That dude ain't even a cop. George Zimmerman. So it's like, it's kind of like, I don't really be knowing what make a motherfucker be like, yeah, that could go, that's guilty or not, but I'm happy with the result. I want to see what he going to get sentenced. I want to see what that's going to look like. But for now, I mean, I guess I'll just chalk it up and just be like, hey, good. And the fight continues because, as you're going to see later in the show, we got back.
Yeah. More. Exactly.
Like, y'all, this shit is, people think we be bullshitting, y'all. And really, calling the police can really be the end of your life. And that's sad. Like, you really have to think. You really have to think, should I call the police?
Yeah.
Should I? Especially if it's a violent situation. If it's a fight, or it's two men, or, you know, like, you really have to think of that. And that's a shame because it's not supposed to be that.
Yeah. It's hard to say protect and serve these days, right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Jeremy, about the Derek Chauvin case, man?
No, I'm glad we got justice. I mean, it just sucks that, you know, somebody had to lose their life. So, I mean, that's not, you want to be excited about the situation, but the circumstances, like, man, it sucks. But like Haywood said, I'm curious to see, you know, what he's going to be sentenced to. Because, I mean, he doesn't have a previous record. And they said, what, the most that he can, much time that he can spend is, what, 20? Was it 20 years?
No, he need 40.
I said
I thought because of he had no prior record, they were saying that the most that he probably get is 20.
I think it was 40, 20, and 10, I believe, were the amount of years that he can get for each one of them. Right. But personally, I think they're gonna split the baby. I think he's gonna get 20, be honest with you. Yeah. You gotta make an example out of him.
He gonna do 10, which is fine. Whatever. He's going to do 10. He'll do half of that.
A little indifferent about it, man. I mean, of course, I'm happy that he got the guilty verdict, but at the same time, I'm more concerned about what legislation is going to be driven out of this, too, because you hardly hear any, you know, conversation about legislation as it relates to police reform and what that looks like. I mean, you even got some like the Democrats fighting against it, like the Joe Manchins and the Kristen Sinemas of the world, stuff like that. They're fighting against some of the bills that we're trying to put forward in the House and Senate. So I don't know, man. It's just, I definitely was happy about that. Then when it happened, Tracy asked me before the verdict came, she was like, what do you think? I said, probably guilty, because if they coming back that fast, usually, you know, they usually, you know, putting a nail in the coffin for you. But it was a bittersweet moment at the end of the day, you know. It's crazy, man. Well, I mean, we're going to keep it around this same topic, man. So, of course, we're seeing a lot of police shootings, man, like almost on a daily basis, man. And one that sticks out to me the most, and I wanted to have a conversation about it, was the 16-year-old young lady that got shot four times by the police officer. And she had a knife in her hand, and apparently she was lunging towards the other young lady, and the police officer pulled out his weapon and shot her four times, man. So what do you feel about that? How do you feel about that whole scenario? I believe her name is Mika, right?
I thought it had an apostrophe in there, but I just, on one side, I'm like, okay, cool. The dude was trying to protect, per se, right? But then I'm like, wait a minute. This is the thing that throw me off. And I'd be like, if them was white people, would that have happened? And I just can't see that, bro. I just can't see old boy popping the little white girl, 16-year-old white girl, old time. I can't picture that. I just don't feel that would have happened.
You seen proof of it. You seen them people with knives running at them and junk like that.
Man, bro, in your lap. That's all you can do, fam. That's it, bro. First of all, wasn't she the one who called the police saying to come help? Did somebody was trying to stab her?
That's what's being said.
Yeah.
So the tape that's being read is like, yo, that shit happened so fast, man. I know, I understand, man. Cop job ain't easy, bro. But once you pull the pistol, man, like it is, that's what it is. And I just feel like, bro, we can't tackle no. Oh man, and I guess is that bad for me to say, man? Yes, you can get injured tackling somebody, you know. But I just feel
you
like
stand.
I feel like these some little girls, man. I feel like that maybe I would have loved to have ways to neutralize the situation. Do y'all not have sticks, batons? Like, I just feel like Wooten wouldn't have did that. Wooten is huge. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think he would have did that.
Yeah.
I just don't think so. And that's the thing that's conflicted, because I can see he has a reason. He's not going to jail. He's not going to jail.
Yeah.
This man gonna get off. Y'all can march all y'all want. Shit. I don't even think old boy who shot the dude in the car, the little 19-year-old.
Anthony Brown, the new one.
Not that one.
You talking about when he went back in his car?
Yeah.
They had a warrant.
Who shot the person who was the girl who pulled accidentally did the gun with the taser.
Yeah.
I guess she broke it off because dude was kind of resisting a little bit.
Right.
You just got to give them an inch, bro. You give them this much and they're going to get off. So anyway, that's my dissonance, y'all. Is I just feel like this wouldn't happen in certain situations. And who am I to say? Obviously, I don't know all the things that go on with a cop duty. So I just really kind of had to mentally detach from it, because I was just spinning my wheels and I couldn't get it. So I just had to be like, Another black person dead. Shit sucks. Move on about your day.
What do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for me. You know, another black person losing their life, it sucks. You're tired of seeing that. But on the other hand, I mean, if that was my daughter in the pink and she was about to get stabbed, I would have wanted the officer to do what he had to do to make sure, to ensure that my daughter was all right. Because the thing about the situation is if he wouldn't have pulled that trigger and that girl would have stabbed the other girl and killed the other girl, then we would have said then the police not doing what they're supposed to be doing and protecting us.
No, so he just arrived. He had just arrived 20 seconds. He was there chilling.
But what was he supposed to do that quick? Do you see? It's not like he walked on the scene and had his gun.
Okay.
He drew his gun.
What you're saying is that's the only thing he could have did.
What else is he going to do?
I don't know. Apparently there's nothing else for him to do, because you saying.
Let me give you a scenario. So what if he grabs his taser, shoots her, tases her. She still has the momentum going forward, still stabs the girl, kills the girl. And then what? Like, it kind of put him in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Because I don't think he had ill intentions whenever he showed up on the scene. It's not like he had his gun drawn immediately. He was trying to assess the situation. He drew his gun when he saw the knife.
If she
was clearly lunging at the other girl.
If them things don't work on your belt, then take them off. Take off the taser. Take off the belt. Don't use none of that shit. If you gonna never use it, if it don't work to neutralize a situation without killing people, I could have swore that's the whole reason of having a baton or a taser or rubber bullets, to not kill people. Am I right? It's not to kill weapons, right? So apparently you got them weapons on you for a reason. So all I'm saying is, if you think that's the only thing they could have done, that's cool. I had no problem with that. I just feel like you have other things on your utility belt, Batman. And they're there for a reason. And so I'm like, honestly, I don't know. I'm just not no killing person, bro. Ain't no coming back from that, bro.
No, I feel you. I feel you. But that happened so fast. Like, she was about to stab the other girl. So if that was your daughter about to get stabbed, how would you feel about the situation?
I want him to do something. Do I want him to shoot the other girl and kill her? No, I don't.
I don't think anybody wanted the girl to die.
Right.
I don't think he showed up with ill intentions to be like, no, I'm killing somebody today. I don't think that was the case, though. I honestly really don't.
Intentional.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. And that's why, like I said, I just spin my wheels.
Right.
And again, this is the thing that throw me off, Jeremy. I feel like certain officers wouldn't have did that.
Yeah.
That's what throwing me off. You know what I'm saying? Some of the SROs that I know, You know what I'm saying? At Pflugerville, good people. You know, I just feel like they wanted it. I just feel like they could have handled it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe. I don't know. That's a tough job, bro.
No, it is. It really is.
I talked to a few police officers, and of course, y'all know I got police officers in my family and stuff like that. So, I mean, I've had conversations in regards to scenarios like this in the past. And sometimes I kind of agree with Jeremy as far as the taser is concerned. Sometimes that's not the first, you know, place that you go, you know, to kind of neutralize a threat that's already active and in pursuit of somebody. Because I could tell you firsthand, I had a police officer tell me that a guy was up, hopped up on meth so bad that they used a taser on him, and he walked straight through it. And they, you know, they had to like put him down. They didn't shoot him, but they had to put him down in order to, you know what I'm saying, get him to the ground. I think that, you know, of course, I'm upset that this young lady died. I'm upset that, you know, that she got shot in order to be neutralized. And I hate that, you know, she got shot four times. I can agree that, you know, he shot this young lady with the other girl in the line of fire, too, as well. So he could have very well hit the other girl, too, as well. But if I'm being honest with you, I don't believe that police officer is going to get in trouble. At the end of the day, it might be considered a justified shooting because that girl was in the act of actually stabbing the other girl, and he had to act. If he didn't act then and he stabbed that other girl, we'd be saying a totally different thing. We were like, why didn't he intervene and let her stab that other girl like that? So it is one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't type of scenarios. That we just gotta, you know, kind of look at. And then, of course, one of the things that I've been struggling with these past couple of weeks is just, you know, try not to be a hypocrite in these particular areas. Because if I could put, like you had mentioned, Heywood, if I could put a white girl in that scenario and the same exact thing happened where she got shot four times, would a lot of people have that same energy for the white girl? Yeah, I agree. It wouldn't happen, and we know it wouldn't happen. But let's just say for shits and giggles, it did.
That taser would have been good that day. It would have been good that day. I bet you that. And that's the thing that threw me off.
But that's generally the response. It's like, we can't even think or fathom a scenario where it could happen. Even when I'm saying like, hey, let's just say hypothetically it did happen. We can't even fix our minds to even think about it happening. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of one of those things that, I mean, personally, if it did happen, I could say if it happened on the other side, I would want to have that same energy, you know, with it. Hey. Especially if you call the police officers, should de-escalate 100%. As soon as they pull up, you call them for a reason. You call them to come help you. You got to stand down at that point.
Look at the response of the people who was around. They were like, bro, what were you doing? We needed help. You trying to tell me you should shoot everybody who's chasing everybody with a knife?
No.
Oh, okay. You know, I know context is everything, but.
But she's right,
you
know, there, though.
She's, I called you over here to handle it. I didn't call you over. I guarantee that.
Yeah, we didn't know.
I can't
know who called
them, dog. You know what I'm saying? They wish, and you know what, baby girl called. So it wasn't even the parents. And that shit just happened so fast. And the adults, they were just like, what are you doing? We need your help. You know what I'm saying? Because they should have been
holding everybody back.
Yeah, the dude over there trying to kick somebody. And then he's talking about, what you doing? What you doing? I was like, bro, you over here trying to kick this girl, this woman. Like, what you talking about? You're the one that's escalating. And you sitting up here talking about, man, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? Well, I don't know.
You kick somebody how you damn want. Ain't no coming back from no damn bullet, bro.
Yeah.
You capped it four times, bro. You can't shoot nobody in the foot, bro. Fuck.
But you can't. That's difficult to tell people, to tell cops to shoot them in the leg. Whenever they shoot, they're going to shoot at the biggest target, which is right here. You know how hard it is to shoot somebody in just a leg and arm? Like, it's not easy.
I ain't trying to hear that, bro.
That's perfectly fine.
I'm not trying to hear
it. It makes it difficult for cops. I'm not saying I'm not taking up for cops at all. I'm just saying it's very difficult.
All right. Yeah. Cool. You can train. Just like you train to hit a book, you can train to hit. We can't. Okay.
It's not easy. It's not
shooting
easy.
Shooting an arm and a leg, bro. Like, be realistic. We're shooting an arm and a leg.
Here, bro. It's life or death. We out here dying, bro. I don't give a fuck about nobody talking about it. It's hard, bro. All right. I don't care. Because if you shot my daughter, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to hear your job was hard. I don't want to hear that shit, bro.
But you know why they don't shoot for the leg anymore?
If you can train to shoot, you can't train to shoot, have different type of shots.
But you know why they don't shoot they don't train to shoot at the leg anymore? Is because it's a higher probability of hitting somebody else. That's why they go for the bigger target. Stuff like that. Because you can't, it's easy to say shoot somebody, but unless you a marksman or you dead shot from dead.
He's killing black people all the time, shooting people. I'm not trying to hear that either, bro. Y'all kill people all the time. Kill us all the time. And
we gotta get you to the shooting range so you can see, bro.
I shot a gun many times before, bro. When we out here dying, you know what I'm saying? Like, your protocols, okay, but at the end of the day, bro, if that was my daughter, I'd be pissed. I'd be pissed. I wouldn't be trying to hear, no, bro.
But I mean, I get it. It's tough.
I hear exactly what you're saying. I'm tired of it too. I'm tired of black people getting killed. It's frustrating. But there also has to be some accountability taken. She had a knife and was about to stab somebody. We have to take accountability in certain situations. We can't be getting behind situations like this. Like, other situations, I totally get it. I understand it. Like, 100%. But she had a knife and she had an intent to harm somebody.
She called the police saying somebody. How do you know she wasn't defending herself? You don't, because
the cop showed. Oh, it's okay, Chris. So when a cop shows up and you clearly see the cops there, you're just gonna escalate and start acting a fool and try to stab someone. That makes no sense.
My point is, what I'm saying is, she called the police, said she was in danger.
I understand that.
You got Jeremy. If you got a knife and you coming at me, am I wrong to pick up a knife and try to defend myself? That's all I'm saying. You don't even know.
I feel you, but when the cops get there, though, you should understand. Especially if you're the one that called the cops. Why am I going to pick up a knife and try to stab someone whenever the cops are on the scene?
It didn't even go that far, bro. Oh, man, it's just tough. This is why I don't talk about it.
It's tough.
I don't want to go here because now I'm frustrated. Because, like, at the end of the day, there's no right answer, y'all.
There's not.
It's really not. Jeremy, everything you say, there's nothing you said is wrong.
That's my next point.
Protocols. But you can make a case. And that's why.
Yeah. No, we're all tired of seeing it, bro. We're tired of it. I am.
And that's my next point. That's why I put / media. I mean, do you think that this is purposely being put in our face, like, on a daily basis now?
Nah.
Because it wasn't happening at this clip. Like, what? I mean, hey, well, you always talk about, like, an overcorrection over, you know, something that somebody may have a grievance over. Is this the overcorrection that we're seeing right now?
You can't fix. At the end of the day, white people don't see black people as humans at the same level. It's not conscious. It's really not, honestly. It's subconscious. And it's like this much of a difference. That little bit of a difference is what we see on TV. That little bit of difference of humanity is how you see the sergeant pulled over who getting the guns pulled out on him. That little bit of difference, they don't even realize it to me, bro. They don't. It's not really conscious. They just doing their job. And then if somebody explained to them, like, common sense, like, why would you do that? You know, but then you switch the roles. You'd be like, well, what that happened if that was a white person? What happened? And we see that. It's very evident that how you portray how you see humanity in different people with different colors is different.
Yeah. And
based on that, you treat people different. In policing, and I'm not just policing, in education, and you know what I mean? Like, and what's so crazy about it, y'all, is when it's so I was listening to a lecture, and he was like, the unconscious seed is the most dangerous thing because you can't fight it if you're not even aware it's there. If you say, I'm pissed about something, you could do something about it. But if you have... if you have unconscious bias, unconscious trauma, hatred, you can't never do nothing about it. You know what I mean? Like, so that's what's so dangerous about this stuff. So I don't necessarily think it's a conspiracy. I just think we know, based on the history of this country, people live in different worlds and they have different paradigms. And based on those paradigms, they'll act different.
Facts.
Black people see humanity in people. That's one thing about black people. We're going to see humanity in people. We the most loving, kindest. That's who we are, bro. And
I said most forgiving.
Yeah,
docile. We, you know what I'm saying? We just take it on the chin.
I don't know why we be like that, bro. And then be
that shit crazy. Well, I think we know we outnumbered too. At the same time, you can't just go out and do the same stuff that, you know, all those people did in January, like storming the Capitol. We don't have those same results. We already know. As soon as we come up, it's met with aggression and violence. You're going to have those steps lined up with military. They're going to have their guns out, and they letting it loose. You know, as soon as we step on the first step, hell, a woman got shot doing a U-turn over there. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like...
Yeah, I think the solution is not public anyway. It's not public. It's not. It's very private, and it has to do what we do in our house. And it really starts with us taking responsibility of our results in every which way, in terms of understanding where the holes that we have financially, spiritually, socially, education wise, and making a plan as a group of people. Like, I wish, who could pull this off? Y'all, who's like our biggest leader? Who could pull this off? I don't even know. We don't really have nobody.
Yeah. Should buy Terry Crews right now.
Like, the biggest person who can make, oh, who could do this? Farrakhan couldn't even do it.
Nah. He's already met with aggression. All of our leaders that are quote unquote leaders, the people that really
Obama
do it or met with aggression.
But if Obama, he would never do it. But if Obama came up with a 12-point plan, okay, say it's like three things in education, three things financial, three things in like your family wise, like just like commandment type shit, like. Obama would never do this, but it was just like simple shit, y'all. Like, marry a black woman, raise your kid in a community. Try to raise your child in a community. Y'all know the difference between a neighborhood and a community? We gotta talk about that.
Yeah,
because I was driving for some houses, and it's different, y'all. It's different between a neighborhood and a community. But if we just like broke down 12 things, like the Black Panther 10-point program, whatever, just like boom, 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 boom. This is what we are doing as a people. We're doing these 10 things. And we can do these things right now. That's what we need from a leader. We need to, like, cut and dry. You know what I mean? Like, we're investing our money in assets. We value a post-secondary education. We value having children in after we're married. You know what I'm saying? Just like all the shit that kind of like fix all the things that fuck us up. We invest our money in assets, not liabilities or whatever.
Yeah.
We need like a big plan so it can trickle down to us. I feel like we need that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you don't get no disagreement from me out of that, man.
Somebody got to have a cachet to... You know who can do that? The black, who should do it? The black caucus? Who's that? The black?
Black men build?
No. But they got an example. They're just not big enough. But they have a creed.
They have personally, bro, I think that's what it's going to take, man. I don't think that it's going to, like, I don't think anybody that's in the forefront right now is going to have the right microphone in order to get some type of progression. It's going to be somebody that is actively doing the work behind the scenes, and then they blow up with a whole bunch of stuff and start have a voice like right there and have proof points to show everybody what they've done. That's the only way, because it's actions and deeds these days. It's not words and lip service. Nobody's going to listen to you if you haven't put in the work and shown what you've done.
But see, bro, the thing that's hard about that is everybody else's values come from their culture. We don't have, we had our culture stripped from us. So everybody ain't on the same shit. Everybody on different stuff. Everybody on different pages. You Christian over here, you on this, you on this. And within all those paradigms are all different values.
Let me ask you this. What if you provided, what if you shown over a 10-year span growth and prosperity, like in a certain faction, and then you say, hey, this is, I got the roadmap. You need to come follow me. Would you be willing to follow if they had the appropriate roadmap?
Man, but that's taking so long in terms of to prove something. I think it has to be like it got to be like a movement.
You can't, but that's what I'm saying. You can't microwave it. You can't. I don't think you can build a community overnight and then everybody be like, I'm gonna jump on board, because people. We're gonna talk about this guy a little bit later, and I know everybody has different thoughts, but we're talking about like Umar Johnson. He's trying to start his school and stuff like that. But he's met on both sides with skepticism. Some people believe he's going to start a school. Some people don't believe he's going to start a school. The reason why is because he may have the brick and mortar building, but you ain't starting no school, brother. Where's the actions and deeds? All you doing is words and lip service at this point. So why should I follow you? You know what I'm saying?
You've been trying to start school for I don't know how long, man.
People got to stop going so big, man. I feel like. And all that time you was doing that, you could have had an online course. You could have been gaining momentum and money. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I got some person I'm thinking in my head right now. God bless this brother. I wish him the best. He want to go from having no nightclub to nightclub. And I'm like, you know, like,
what are the liquor license?
Huh?
Liquor license, location. Where you going? I mean, this.
What is your experience? You going to fuck around, get the bag, and you going to drop it. You going to fumble it. Because you ain't have to ready. This bag that I'm getting right now, bro, I pay my dues and I can handle it now. You know what I'm saying? Everything I started small and I progressively done it. Umar could have been made progress. I understand you want to school, but you going to just sit and not do no school? Bro, we still need you. And I'm not saying he's not doing nothing. I'm just saying, bro, there's many things you could have done that kind of got you in the right direction and could have continued. Now you lost your credibility in terms of the school. Yeah. Nigga, speaking some facts. But in terms of the school shit, nigga, I gave Umar Johnson $65, nigga, in 2014 before my daughter was born. I gave that man money because I was on
donation.
I was on Umar back in 2012, bro, with the first Hidden Colors. The first one. I've been on Umar long time. And I'm like, man, this nigga speaking facts. I like him. He ain't scared of these white people out here. Whenever a black person speaking, he ain't scared of white people. You're going to win a faithful fan. You're going to be a fan. Khalid Muhammad, anybody who don't give a damn. And, you know, Khalid Muhammad, he's crazy. He'd be like calling them crackers and shit, which I don't think you should be doing that. But you know what I'm saying? Charlamagne be getting away with calling them crackers, low key.
Yeah, you ain't doing that.
But I mean, he walk his talk though too. At the same time, it's different when you're not, you know what I'm saying, when you just out there and you don't have those actions and deeds to follow by. He said, hey, I'm gonna start a podcast network. You put a lot of black people on, you know what I'm saying? It's just,
bro, your culture gives you your values, interests, and principles. Yeah. And that's what we need. We don't necessarily need a movement. We need to get our values, interests, and principles align. Because y'all, man, I stay over here in this apartment. It's maybe 40% Indian over here. Dog, they so tight on everything they do. They don't exercise, but they, I mean, like go to the gym, but they all walk together. You can tell like they values.
I love it.
Thing. And they do not fuck with me or my daughter. They do not talk to me. Maybe that's a cultural thing. They do not fuck with us. Whatever. I'm here. I peep game because you ain't got to fuck with me.
Yeah.
My point is culture. Culture gives you values. That means value means what weighs more. What are you interested? How do you direct your TV? They be outside working at 7 o'clock, that walking in the evenings. That means they probably eat dinner and then they go exercise. You know what I'm saying? And they ain't big and they probably not experiencing health. And then the principles that you stand on. That's really what we need. And unfortunately, because of that, the great Maafa, the great disaster of us coming over here, we lost those. And so we all on different pages. I would love for everybody to have the same values, interests, and principles to me, because I feel like we would just be a great people. So how do you do that? The best way to do it is your culture. But yeah, even my culture is not somebody else's culture. So it's like, nah, this shit is hard, bro.
It's going to be tough to get everybody on the same accord, dog. It's going to be hard. Bad.
And the easiest way to probably do it is, let's worship the same God. That's the easiest way to do it. Yeah. Honestly, because everybody be like, cool, we can submit to this omnipotent being. But we ain't even on the same page on that.
Well, no, I mean, it's funny you say it, but we submit to celebrity. You know, we follow what we see on TV and the virtue signaling and the status symbols and the things they put up. So we're able to coalesce and get behind somebody that, you know, has that, you know, that fame and that fortune and stuff like that. And I'm personally saying that I feel like we need something of that ilk in order for us to do it. I truly believe nobody will listen to you if you don't have, you know, proof points to show that you did something.
Oh yeah. And even if you got those the proof points to show people, there's still people that ain't gonna get on board though. That's gonna be the most difficult thing. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And there's a fine line that you gotta walk to with that. You can't just be like, well, look, I just made $100,000 doing this, this, and this. Some people gonna look at you like you bragging. I'm like, nah, man, I'm trying to put you on game. Or right, if I got like a 700 credit score, hey, I'm trying to show you I got a 700 credit score. This is how I did it. Are you just trying to showcase? You trying to show out? No, I'm trying to put you on game so you can get it too. You know right, what I'm saying?
You know what? Maybe that's why I need to make. Maybe I need to make a fucking a series of like the Black Print. You know who could pull it off? Black Mike. Killer Mike.
That's a perfect
Killer Mike.
One.
Killer Mike can do it in conjunction with a couple powerful people. Fuck the old people. They too old.
Killer Mike, Charlemagne.
I like Killer Mike. I'm gonna say Killer Mike for sure.
Killer Mike for sure.
I have a woman.
David Banner.
You gotta have a woman in there.
I mean, I'm still on Tamika Mallory, but I mean, she's starting to get that negative press too from people.
Michelle Obama, nigga, we have Michelle Obama in that bitch. What? You can kill Mike and Michelle Obama. We pipe dreams right now, but we need it for the young people. Don't worry about the old people. The young people are still impressionable, because look at how what's so deep about it is, with your values, interests, and principles, that tells you where to spend your money. That tells you what careers to go to. The Indian Americans, they come over here, they don't just go do everything. They don't go focus on being personal trainers. Like, people hate people boxing you in, but yo, you go where you can dominate a niche. Ask the Jewish people in law. Ask the Indian people about these corner stores, or the Koreans about these hair stores. You gotta find something to narrow in and let's do that. Now, Nigerians are doing it great. They're doing a great job, but they have their culture intact. They're coming up here being engineers and doctors, but they have their culture intact. And they wanna shit on us.
Yeah. That's a topic on its own, man. I think we're gonna have to explore this a little bit further down the line, man, because I think this is a topic on its own as far as building community and culture and what that looks like for us, you know what I'm saying, moving forward.
I don't see how you do it without institutions. It's easier to do it if everybody on the same curriculum, which is not happening. We don't have media. We have media.
Yeah.
We don't have hospitals. We don't have...
Man, that's support.
Huh?
You got to support it, though. It's the difference between having it and supporting it. We got the media. It's just, you know, putting all our energy and time into it, you know? It's going to be hard, bro. It's,
yeah, man. Like, dog, we don't value credit. We don't value none of the shit. Not in terms of value, in terms of we don't like it. We're just not taught to value those things.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Once you find out about it, bro, I'm telling y'all, this shit y'all told me about with this credit card.
Bro.
This shit's so easy. I got the money. Just don't use it. I'm just like, man, why would I pay with a credit card? Like, it's women out here. Y'all see the little things, and they be like, if I'm on a date and a dude pay with his credit card, I'm not going on the second date with you.
I saw that on YouTube. I was like, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard, man.
That's what you need to be, bro. That's
perfect. That lets me know exactly what to do.
Jeremy, like, oh, this is the last day.
Cool. that's when you hit him like, oh, I thought we was going Dutch. We ain't going Dutch. Nah, I'm playing.
Like the credit stuff, the stuff about health, what we put in our body. Like, oh, there's so much stuff we're literally the opposite on.
No.
Like everything we should be on.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and it's shame on you if you know better and you don't do better. You know, it's, I don't know, man. It's crazy, man. We could be on this all day, man. Let's keep it moving, man. Let's keep it moving. So it's a big question, man. Is Steve Harvey giving up the game, fellas?
Man, this nigga tripping, bro. I seen that thing y'all talking about. This man talking way too much. He's saying way too much. Now, if y'all haven't heard, you know, he talking about, you know, women can't, he don't want to be friends with a woman. And I feel that because I'm not really trying to be around no feminine energy unless that's my woman personally. Or motherly, I'm trying to be around the motherly, nurturing energy. I feel that. But I'm not trying to hang out with that in terms of how I need brotherhood from y'all. I need brotherhood. I don't need sisterhood. That sounds bad to say. But it sounds great to me. It's true to me. Like brotherhood, we know we in the bond. Just like a woman needs sisterhood. You know, regardless of you in a partnership, marriage, you need to be with your boys sometimes. When do you ever say, man, I really need your sisterhood? I've never said
depends
that.
It depends on who you ask.
So there's a great movie, and I love this movie, called When Harry Met Sally. It's in the 80s. And the whole premise of the movie is Harry's like, you can't be friends with somebody you're attracted with. And Sally's like, why not? And she's like, of course you can. He's like, no, the dudes want to bone you. And she's like, no, they don't. And she's so naive. It's a great movie. Great movie. And if they wind up getting together, it's a great 80s classic movie with Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan. That's literally what this movie is about. It's a great date movie. Damn, check that out.
I'm about to watch that, man.
You know, you got a little rotation going. So, but I agree. Personally, and I didn't like how Charlamagne and Envy came in with their married asses talking about, yeah, we don't agree, man.
Look. That's because they got a lot of women around them. They got to say that.
They do.
Charlamagne got a lot of women around him.
I'd be lying to you. I don't want to be best buddy buddies with...
I keep it real. I had a conversation with somebody not too long ago about that topic, about guys and girls being friends and stuff like that. And she's like, yeah, I got guy friends that, you know, I've gone on vacation with and we've never slept together. Like, we slept in the same bed, but we've never had sex. I was like, I lied. Cool. I said, so what happens? What do you think would happen if you text your best friend late at night, hey, I'm horny? I said, what you think gonna happen?
Yeah.
She like, I don't. She like, man, I don't necessarily think anything would happen. I was like, nah. I was like, the only reason why y'all are friends is because you're the one that dictated that y'all were going to be friends. For me personally, I always tell women, I was like, you know, and this might sound bad, but I was like, I mean, I don't want a girl. Like, if you're not my girl, I'm not going to want to hear. I don't want to hear your problems. I know that sounds horrible, but like, I'll get a girlfriend if I want to, you know, talk to you every day and hear your problems and stuff like that. Like, it's just weird because I think guys are basically hanging in the cut, just waiting for you to slip up. I really don't think that's
call them orbiters. And everyone got orbiters. I should say every woman. A lot of women got orbiters, and a lot of those friends are the orbiters. Who are ready to pounce on that ass. Got some sense out there. Oh, man, I can't believe he did you like that. Man, That's crazy, man. Like, you know, you can lay your head on my shoulder. Man, get out of here. You're naive. You're naive if you think these niggas will bust you down if they had the opportunity to. And I don't know how women, man, bro. And you know what, though? I think it still can be both. I can still be a great friend to somebody who I'm attracted to and would definitely have sex with. That doesn't mean I'm a bad friend because I dig you down. That is not what that means. It just means I would never, because I can never be best friends. That's not true. It's very unlikely that I could be best friends with a woman.
That's, I mean, that's a more real answer than anything. It's like, yeah, you could be friends, but you got to understand, like, if you trying to give it up, it's going to
be a friendship, right?
Yeah.
Wait.
Remember we had that conversation with Alina when she was on here and she was talking about old dude that she was like, she swore up and down he'd never touch him. I was like, but you never offered him anything. I bet if you offered him something, he gonna be, I'm pulling up.
Yeah, but do you think women keep these guy friends just like, you know, just in case something happens in their life and, you know, they'll be like, okay, next up. You're next up off the bench.
Some.
Because I mean, they have to realize, because whenever you meet somebody with the intentions of probably dating them or getting at them, unless you meet them at like a work environment or something like that. But if you're out and about and you meet somebody, you typically don't meet somebody to be their friend. You meet somebody because you think that they're attractive and you want to pursue something. So
I don't know, bro. Women really be naive, bro. They can really baby.
Nah, you think so? I think they be knowing, dog. They just don't want to admit it.
She really thought that they were platonic friends. And I'm like, uh-uh. No. No. And I don't think that's necessary. The only time I think that's a bad thing is if you wouldn't have no friends with ugly people. If you were like, yeah, I ain't want to be friends with you because you ain't attractive. That's whack.
Oh, that's cold.
That's whack to me. But if you give me a friend, if I got to choose between, this is going to sound bad, but whatever. If you got to get.
You got to think twice about that.
If you give me two women to choose from, I don't want to say that.
No, go ahead and finish it, man. Go ahead. Let that shit flow.
I'm trying to think friends, but I'm the same across the board. I'm not going to kick it at no club. I'm not going to your house. I'm not going out to dinner with you if we're not on that level.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. We can be friends. That type of friend, we can talk on the phone sometimes. I'm not doing no type of dating, kicking and stuff. I do that with my boys. So this is like brown sugar, perfect example. Y'all niggas thought y'all was friends. Y'all friends? Brown Sugar. This Love and Basketball. Come on, man. Wasn't Brown Sugar, they were trying to act like they was friends?
Same thing. Best man, the same thing.
Yeah, y'all wasn't friends. Come on, man. Or they would have got in them. Man, come on. They would have did a long time ago if they had the chance, bro. I'm good. I'm good with everything now. them all my favorite movies and shit.
So all in all, we on the consensus. Steve Harvey probably right, but he needs to stop giving up the game.
You had to say that, bro. What good did that happen? You know, you just gave these women a reason to call us shallow, call us predators, and I'm sorry, y'all. We just don't
look at them like objects, man. You can't be looking at these women like objects, man.
Man, look. I talked to this one girl, and she could talk for hours. And I was just like, yo, I don't want to be that for you.
You told her that? Huh? You told her that?
Bro, what? Like, something, you need to tell your girls, like, I'm not that. I'm not that. And it's not that I don't care, but yo, because what happens is they need to bounce ideas off each other and they need somebody sometimes to validate what they're feeling. And I don't feel like you. I'm going to listen to find a solution.
Right.
If you're telling me something, or I'm gonna be like, do you just need to vent? either, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They be wanting to talk to each other and just hear each other talk. I'm not gonna do that.
I ain't about that.
I'm not gonna do that with you. So, you know, that's a good little thing. I read that, you know, that's a good little thing. Be like, hey, all right, baby girl, do you want a solution? Do you want my advice? Do you just want to vent? Or what's the other? I feel like there's another option. Do you want to vent? Do you want a solution? Or, yeah, that's a very important thing to kind of establish with them, because you fuck around, give your advice, and they really didn't want it.
Yeah. Nah, that's a good point. Good point, man.
Stevie, true.
Hey, man. We got two more. We're going to call it a night, man. Y'all care about Justin Bieber and his dreads, man? Is he culturally appropriating our culture, man?
Hold on, I got to look this up.
Hey, you ain't seen
the dreads on old Justin?
Nah, man. You see, check this out.
He got it in his new album. He got Martin Luther King doing a speech right before, you know, what? On his intro.
I ain't tripping. You just look dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I care that much, man.
Okay. It don't matter to me.
Okay. Yeah.
Dirty as fuck, man. Goddamn.
That's a deal. All right, last one I got, man. Y'all think the old Kanye coming back, man? You know, he's fresh off. He's finna get in this divorce with Kim K. I just saw him today on Twitter, man. He's sitting up with DJ Khaled. They listening to a beat, getting them old vibes back, man. You think it's any shot for Kanye to make a comeback?
Unless he want to get back on sampling Kanye. I need sample Kanye. Sample Kanye. See, people think sampling is what? Sampling is how... I was listening to a song today, and it was... You know how you listen to an old, I don't know if y'all listen to oldies. You listen to and then you find out that it was sampled. That's like the greatest feeling. Cause you're like, damn, man, I didn't even know. I think it's how we honor the ancestors. You know what I'm saying? And people sample they was growing up listening to. And I think we should continue that, man. That don't mean we're just copying, but this is just, man, bro. I don't have a lot of expectations, bro. You would think Kanye would come with some heat, but he could come with some 808s type weird shit. If anybody can come with some weird ass shit, be like, Kanye, what the fuck is this, bro? This nigga in Wyoming, he ain't around us no more. Because at the end of the day, what you gonna talk about, Kanye?
Yeah. You're
gonna talk about your divorce. I need Kanye to go live life. I need Kanye to like go backpacking, or I don't know.
Just I can't see him backpacking. I can't see that shit.
And he made so much money. Kanye need to live some life with us.
I think that's what we need to do personally. I think he need to get grounded, man. He need to get back with his people.
He wants some black
folk. Home.
He wants some black folk, man. We waiting for you, Kanye, bro. You did some fuck shit. Talking about slavery, choice, all this, man. Come on, back, man. Come on.
Wait. So we inviting him back? He cool,
nah,
man?
Nah, man. I don't know if I want to jump off that.
You know why you got to Jeremy? Because he can do a lot of good, bro. He could do a lot of good. This man is an icon.
He's an undeniable influence, man. His damn, did y'all see the prototype of his shoe sold for $1.8 million this week?
The one that looked like a
not even the actual shoe, like the prototype. The first Nike Yeezy sold for $1.8 million.
That's what I'm saying. You gonna throw that away? I should.
That's crazy.
Some of the shit he said, but this nigga, if he flipped it around, I don't trust this nigga intentions. That's what the dangerous thing about Kanye. This nigga fuck around and do some good shit, but for selfish ego reasons. This nigga Gemini like me, bro. We can use our powers for good. We some of the most artistic, creative, brilliant people. But
Did you see that list like notable serial killers? They were like only three signs. They were Gemini, Sagittarius, and Virgos.
That's it? Just those three?
Just those three throughout the whole list.
Gemini really
crazy.
Gemini, two people, y'all. I got two careers. I wake up one day and don't want to talk the whole day. And then, like, all day, nigga, don't want. I'm like, damn, I ain't said nothing all day. This is weird, bro. God bless Very rarely are we married. Very rarely. Or stay married.
Right? Yeah. Case in point. Kanye.
Kanye. Kanye. You know what I'm saying? Some of I ain't married.
I think if he get around the right counsel, bro, I think it might be a chance for him to come back and do some impactful things. He's in a position with me where he got to atone for some of the mistakes that he's made.
And the best way to atone is to come back. That's my point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, babe. Yeah. Atone. Yeah. You atone by your actions in the present. I agree there.
Yep.
Is he going to do it? I'm not trying to. If this nigga come with some All Lives Matter type shit, bro, he was supporting Trump, bro. Let's not forget. Let's not.
I'm saying.
This nigga's Jeremy, like, I just know what I'm saying. That old fucker was so.
Jeremy, he's over there. He's way over there.
Yeah, I probably, Jeremy gonna put up the podcast where I'm like, fuck the Kanye, bro. He canceled. Man.
Nah, if he come back with some fire, dog, it's gonna change everything, man.
You know I am about music, man. If you got the heat, man, I can't
just create, turn away from. How could you create that based on what he been living? Is that even possible? I don't even know, because you gotta the best music come from your day to day life and what you experience and the people you connecting to. He in corporate world now. He in the billionaire class. You know. Like, yeah. Kendrick Lamar dropped like 5 years ago. That nigga ain't did nothing. That boy been living. He been off the grid. He can come with something. J. Cole fall off the map after he go do something. He gonna come back with some life. I don't think Kanye gonna come. Man, if you have high expectations, I think you're gonna have a letdown. Let's just keep him low. And if he come with some heat, you know, you think he coming with some Dark Twisted Fantasy? Boy, no. No.
Yeah, that's a tough one to beat.
No way. That shit. Graduation late. No way. Bro. I just don't see. He's not that person no more. I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah, nah, I agree. All right, man. Well, let's shut it down, man. It's been another episode of the Why Not Us podcast, man. Y'all keep liking and subscribing. Tell a friend, man. And we love y'all. Peace.
Peace.